From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the government of Brazil plans to change its land ownership rules. Debt inspectors from the IMF are headed back to Greece, and five USDA disaster aid programs will sunset this Friday. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then as we close out our program, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He'll update the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in Chicago finished lower for the day. The July soft read at $6.91¾, down 20¼ cents. In the wheat pit, December corn 21½ lower at $6.30¾. March at $6.44, down 21¾. And May corn at $6.55¾, 21½ lower. December futures $5.81¼ for next year, 19 cents lower. November beans at $12.23½, down 39½. January at 12.35½, down 39½, and the March at 12.43¾, down 38¾. May soybeans 12.49¾, down 38. And next year's November at 12.31½, down 30 cents for the day. Bean meal October 3.15.40, down $11.20. Bean oil at 51.55, down $1.02. Live cattle futures finished the October contract at $120.40, down 20. December at 120.85, up 20. September feeders at 132.65, a nickel higher. The October up a dime at 139.62½, and October lean hogs today at $88.77½, 15 cents higher. At 2 o'clock Central Time, USDA released a quarterly hogs and pigs report. It showed inventory up 1%. United States inventory of all hogs and pigs up at 66.6 million. That's 1% above last year and 3% above June of this year. We'll have more complete details on the hogs and pig report online at willag.org. That's WILLAG. O-R-G. Here's what the numbers look like from the outside market at this hour. November crude oil futures, $81.33 a barrel, down $3.13. Ethanol at 253¼, that's 4¾ lower. Natural gas at 375¼, down 6Ⅾ%. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, just about 5 cents lower at $2.82¼. Gold futures at $1,616.30 an ounce, down $34.30. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average, about 81 points lower at 11,109. The dollar is 0.34 higher at 77.85. And the CRB index at 303.58, down 7.86 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says we'll have scattered showers yet, mostly cloudy skies, a high of 67 degrees, northwest winds at about 11 miles an hour, gusting as high as 17. Chance of precip in the area set at 40% for today. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 49. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 77. It'll be breezy. Winds out of the west at 6 to 9, 17 to 20 with the gust, and they'll come all the way up to 30 miles an hour tomorrow during the day. Tomorrow night, increasing clouds, a low of 48, northwest winds at 16 miles an hour, gusting to 25, and Friday, partly sunny, a high of 62 degrees, breezy, north-northwest winds at 15 to 20, gusting to 30, Friday night, clear, and a low of 42. Saturday, sunny, a high of 61 degrees, Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 40, Sunday, sunny skies and a high of 65 for the start of the week. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 44. And Monday, we'll see sunny skies again with a high of 69 degrees. By the time we get to Monday night, partly cloudy and a low of 47. And Tuesday, the sun returns, the high near 73. More on the weather forecast when we talk with Drew Lerner in about 20 minutes.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. We're joined by Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Are you looking forward to getting things in full force there? Are the combines already moving today?
Well, there's a few going, but it's slow. I'm going to say it'll be more tomorrow and the next day. And people are complaining that they'd like to see corn dry down just a little quicker. And the other deal is that there'll be more beans being harvested, and maybe we'll just wait and let Mother Nature pay for some of the drying.
Yeah, I suspect that will be the case. Tell me what you think the bean crop will look like in your area.
I think it's a better bean crop than market is anticipating, and I think it's a bigger crop in the U.S., and I think that's one reason why we did see the market sell off. There's an old adage that we learned when we were young men in the business that, harvest time, it takes a brave soul to be long, and you're braver when the crops get bigger, and we do have a very weak U.S. economy. And we are looking at a bigger corn and soybean acreage and wheat acreage next year. That also piles on the problem. And the other thing is, of course, one of our favorite customers of China has been very, very slow at buying some very cheap corn and soybeans for harvest time. In the meantime, the outside commodity world took a beating today, crude oil, gold, and the grain markets.
And then, of course, the dollar was higher today, and bean market was down 40 cents. I suppose some will relate those to one another.
The big factor here, of course, is that the soybean demand just is rough. Soybean crush margins are just very average, and usually this time of year we see a robust demand and real strong crush margins. So I don't know how to really explain it. It'd be wonderful if I could come up with 20 bullish reasons, but I've lost that set of notes. I wish I could be nice and please everybody talk.
Well, we have a bunch of listeners that want 20 bullish reasons.
Those notes went out the window.
All right. So we don't have 20 bullish reasons to talk about. Do you have 20 bearish reasons to talk about?
Well, I think there is. One of the things is, of course, is this bigger planted acreage next year on soybeans. China seems to be very slow at buying soybeans in the world market. They did a masterful job of buying South America production, and the Brazilians and Argentinians sold a lot of beans and unloaded their inventory. I think the marketplace is also being supported by high energy prices, and with crude oil being lower, that also hurts the soybean oil.
All right. Any best advice for producers that are listening this afternoon and might be in their combines shucking corn or even, I doubt that they're in the bean fields.
But... Well, we really know what the early harvest is, and it'll be interesting to see what the May-planted corn does and also the middle-late planted beans. It'll be interesting to see how the group 3-5s operate and fuller season corn. But as a general rule, we're also picking up better-than-expected yields in eastern Iowa. And, of course, my old rule is that there's that that invincible marker between the yields west of the Mississippi and east of the Mississippi. And we are also hearing reports of excellent yields west of the Mississippi. And that doesn't augur well for prices either.
You hear anything out of Ohio and Indiana there?
Well, I think the interesting thing is that those later planted beans and later planted corn are green. And, I think the actual later planted corn possibly did better than some of that May corn. So we are of the opinion that the impression is that it's not a home run, but it's not a disaster on that late planted corn and beans.
Any thoughts on the quarterly hogs and pigs report that was released at 2 o'clock? It was up
25 years ago, it would have been the most watched thing. We'd had five people in the office looking at it. The impressive thing is it was higher numbers, 1% on all hogs, breeding 101 and marketing 101.
Right.
And that all adds up to at least some demand. And that doesn't hurt the marketplace.
Okay. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day and stay safe and wave at the farmers. They're your best friends.
Absolutely. That's right. Thanks, Paul.
Have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. He is absolutely right. If you're out there, stay safe during the harvest season if you're a producer. Now, if you happen to travel those roads in the rural parts of America, this is a tough time, and you need to be paying some special attention because there's some awfully big equipment that will be traversing the roads throughout the harvest season. And if you happen to run into one of them, it's generally speaking not the producer that gets hurt or the driver of that big equipment, but you, mostly because you're running into the rear end of it. It's running very slow, probably at least half your speed, probably even much less than that. It comes up very quickly. It's very wide. It's very big. You're not going to get around it, so pay attention to it. And I do mean that. Pay attention to those roadways, secondaries, especially in the rural roads. They're narrow, and this farm equipment is big, and it needs to move from one field to the next. And it has to happen in order to bring in a harvest that continues to feed America and our planet. Be safe and pay attention to what's happening out there. You know, you can always find out more on our website at willag.org about the commodity markets and the weather. Visit there anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. The other thing that you can do is on your smartphone, visit our mobile website. It's m.willag.org. That's M for mobile. willag.org. And if you do that, no need to put the www in front of it. In fact, if you do, it probably goes to the wrong place. Just http://m.willag.org. And you'll find our mobile website. It has all the information from our daily programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report, and everything in between. Dave Dickey will be here shortly. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
In agricultural news, Brazil's government will alter its rules on foreign land ownership by year-end, allowing international farm groups to resume productive investments. Brazil will seek not only to ease restrictions on foreign farm purchases, but also to clarify uncertainties that have caused the suspension of billions of dollars of investments since August of 2010. In August of 2010, Brazil's Attorney General issued a reinterpretation of a 1971 law restricting foreign land purchases to 620 acres to 12,500 acres depending on the region, and restricting foreign ownership in any given municipality to 25% per individual and 40% per nationality. The reinterpretation has since blocked virtually all foreign farm investment. At last count, foreigners owned 11% of Brazil's farmland. Greece's international debt inspectors will return to Athens tomorrow after they suspended their review of the country's finances early this month amid talk of budget shortfalls. The delegates are from the International Monetary Fund, the European Union, and the European Central Bank. Greece is fighting to push through austerity measures to avoid a default. five USDA programs designed to ease pressure on Congress to provide ad hoc agriculture disaster aid lose their authorization on Friday. They include supplemental revenue assistance, livestock indemnity, livestock forage disaster, tree assistance, and emergency assistance for livestock, honeybees, and farm-raised catfish. The programs are part of the 2008 Farm Bill. Authorities included the early expirations to help trim the cost of the 2008 legislation. Renewing the programs in their current form is estimated to cost between $4.5 and $5 billion. USDA announced Tuesday it is giving out about $80 million this year to 163 companies that produce biofuel from alternative sources like animal fats and wood chips. The payments are the fiscal year 2010 installment for the Advanced Biofuel Producer Payments Program. And federal agriculture officials say Tyson Fresh Meats Incorporated is recalling about 131,300 pounds of ground beef that might be contaminated with E. coli. USDA became aware of the problem when health officials notified the agency Monday about E. coli illnesses in Butler County, Ohio. The products include Kroger brand ground beef, Butcher's brand beef, and generic label beef. All of the beef was produced on August 23rd. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and that Commodity Week program that you can find on our website after about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening. Our guest this week, by the way, will be University of Illinois Ag Economist Darrell Good. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture at willag.org. Now, up next, you know, we're in the midst of harvest, and one of the things that happens is producers just don't get enough sleep. Probably about right now they ought to be shutting the tractor or the combine down and taking a little afternoon nap. I'll tell you why in a moment. Those of us that work a regular job expect a coffee break in the morning and the afternoon. There's a good reason why. Research shows it makes us more productive and more alert. The same research can be applied to farmers and farm workers, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Safety Specialist Bob Aharon.
Yeah, it's important. Research shows us that every 2 to 2.5 hours of continuous work, even if that's operating a combine or tractor, we should stop for 10 or 15 minutes to take a break. What that does is it relieves us of the stress and focus of what we're doing, even if it might be kind of monotonous at times. And it makes when we go back, we're more mentally alert, less mentally fatigued, and much less likely to make a mistake that results in injuries. And our data shows that we have big peaks in injuries mid-morning and mid to late afternoon after people have been working continuous hours and not stopping for a little break.
Aharon says much of the time it's important for others around the farm to remind workers to take a little break and to shut down the machinery. A little mid-morning snack, a little afternoon nap might just be a good thing.
At least a snack would be good. A nap would be nice. I know a lot of farmers, that might be challenging for them. But even if they went and ate lunch and slept for 15 or 20 minutes, that alone amazingly increases our alertness and dramatically decreases having an accident. If we have an accident, it's, an average accident in our estimate cost us about $25,000 to $30,000 in medical costs, downtime, lost productivity, those sorts of things. And if it's a fatality, it goes up to over $1 million. You look at lost productivity and those sorts of issues, as well as the direct cost of the death itself. And so it's important in managing risk that we understand how to manage ourselves to minimize those risks.
The message is clear and simple for the harvest season. Operator downtime pays because there are fewer errors, injuries, and even deaths when a body is well rested. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Tara Oliver from the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, now joins us. to talk about the cash grain market. Hi, Tara. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very, very well. It's been a little rainy, a little wet, and I'm wondering if you're busy at all today.
You know, the truck flow has been a little bit slower than what we saw last week just because of the rain that we got over the weekend. And at the beginning of this week, it's kind of delayed our harvest here momentarily. So, no, things have been a little bit slow in our area.
Had people coming in with May-planted corn, and are they happy with the yield?
You know, we saw a lot of corn that was planted early on last week that was still fairly wet that came across the scale here. And most of it had no quality issues and really came in closer to an average yield, so I don't think people can quite complain considering the year that we've had. You know, obviously we would love above average, but it was better than where we were at last year since we were down a little bit on yield last year.
You expect producers to wait now since the price has dropped back and hope for a little nature's drying and rather than bringing in corn that's wetter?
I do think, you know, when cash price is good across the scale, it entices a little bit more to move, and now that we've kind of lost a little bit here, and quite frankly, it's a little bit too wet probably that we will see people wait, you know, maybe even into this weekend, and hopefully by the beginning of next week, they'll be at it again.
Yeah, what percentage do you think they'll start bringing it to you?
You know, we saw a lot of stuff last week that was close to 24-25%. I think that was a little bit wet, and we were running some drying discounts, and we may look at doing something like that again. So if we do have any sort of drying program going on, I think somewhere in that range is, you know, fairly good, but I think normally they would probably let it dry down closer to about 20%. And a lot of the other ethanol plants in our area don't quite have dryers that they can utilize, so it almost has to be 18% in some of those situations.
If you're going to run a program, tells me you might be in need and that you're still wanting corn and you're short of supply based off of what's left over from last year. Is that right?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't think anyone is in, or our plant specifically, isn't in absolute need of a lot of corn. It's just this year is so much different than last year because everyone is coming in with extremely low inventories. I don't think anyone's having an issue yet running, you know, on fumes, but because inventories are lower and we're still kind of questioning when the harvest flow is going to start, at some point you may have to entice people to get out in the fields a little bit earlier than they would like to in order to kind of start that flow.
This late start to the harvest, relatively speaking, and I think we can probably call it a late one. I know in Indiana, your folks reported you were 17 days, I think, behind harvest from the state statistician's office on Monday of this week. Mm-hmm. When you look at that and you look to the east into Ohio, how much of a problem and a strain is that putting on those end users that would be probably railers to the southeast of you?
You know, I mean, especially east of us is where it's extremely difficult, even for the ethanol plants and for the end users. You know, I think everybody kind of bases their typical projections off of a normal harvest year, and with being this far behind, and, you know, at this point we can entice it, but it's likely going to be wet, and there may be some issues coming in with that. So I think it's putting everybody in a little bit of a pinch right now, and I think we've started to see basis numbers strengthen a little bit, probably sooner than we would have initially expected in order to entice some of that to get, you know, get moving a little bit sooner here.
Have your basis numbers strengthened as well, or is that just to the east of you?
The east of us is really more, I guess, where we've heard it. I think we've heard numbers, you know, close to the 70 over range. Here at our plant, we have not had to really show the basis jump just yet. We've been fortunate, and we are on some better dirt, so we've seen things flow a little bit more like normal, but we still aren't quite to that normal harvest pace.
You did say 70, not 7 over, right?
No, 70.
Okay, yeah. What are your bids for the day?
We are Delphi's cash corn is at 626. Climbers is at 631, and then Delphi cash beans are at 1171.
Hey, thanks so much, Tara.
Thank you.
Tara Oliver is with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. We'll say so long to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, I'll be back in 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Strawberry Cream Pie Day. Strawberries reportedly have a history that goes back at least 2,000 years, where they grew wild in Italy. They were discovered in the Americas by the first Europeans when their ships landed in 1588, and early settlers in Massachusetts ate strawberries cultivated by Native Americans. On this day in agricultural history in 1895, Louis Pasteur died. A French scientist, he showed that microorganisms were responsible for disease, food spoilage, and fermentation. He discovered the role of bacteria in fermentation, showing that microorganisms in yeast were responsible for the formation of alcohol from sugar. The discovery led to the germ theory of infection and his method of killing harmful bacteria in liquids by heating them for a given time, a process now known as pasteurization. And in 1954, George Harrison Schull died, an American botanist. His work with maize led him to develop the first hybrid corn, ancestor of today's sweet corn and a boon to commercial farmers. Schull's approach was to study the effects of inbreeding and subsequent cross-fertilization in corn. As a result of his research, corn yields per acre were increased 25 to 50%. And he developed a method of corn breeding that made possible the production of seed capable of thriving under various soil and climatic conditions. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, what do you see for the Midwest and the rest of the harvest season?
Well, it certainly looks like we're going to have a good mix of weather. We're still dealing with this moisture situation in the eastern parts of the Midwest with this pesky upper-level low-pressure system producing a lot of moisture across the region. It is going to gradually wind itself down as we move forward through these next two or three days, but we're still going to have showers in the forecast for a little while longer. And a real reinforcing shot of colder air coming down from Canada will help to cause the rainfall actually to increase for a brief period of time as we go from tomorrow night into Friday morning. And then finally on Saturday, we'll start seeing the dry air move into the eastern part of the Midwest. So starting Saturday late, we'll probably be able to go several days in the eastern Midwest without any more precipitation, but that only takes us out to about the 8th, and then I think we'll start seeing some rainfall potentials returning to the region again shortly thereafter. Not necessarily as persistent as what we've been seeing. In the meantime, in the western Corn Belt, we'll likely see good dry conditions taking over and actually continuing for a little while here. The western Corn Belt, of course, has seen very dry conditions here recently, and we're going to see that prevailing until we get out to about the middle part of next week, and then we've got a slow-moving cool front that will bring some rain and thunderstorms back into those areas, and it will actually be beneficial, though, for some of the winter wheat-producing areas, including some of the hard red wheat areas out in the plains, where you might actually get a little bit of moisture that can be used by some of the crops and by producers trying to put some seed in the ground. With that said, be real careful not to read more into it than what's there. The rain amounts in the high plains region will not be all that substantial, and we may still be struggling for moisture in that region. This is definitely not the beginning of a trend towards wetter conditions in the hard red wheat country that'll be sustained for any great length of time.
Back to the Corn Belt for a moment, and then we'll go to the wheat areas around the planet. In the Corn Belt, the precipitation enough just to slow down harvest but not really cause problems?
Yeah, I think that's true for most cases. Now, we've got a few areas in the eastern Midwest that have gotten fairly moist here this week, but yes, I think in general that is absolutely correct, that the delays will all be relatively brief and should not be problematic.
Wheat-growing regions around the world have had trouble. How many of them are still in trouble?
I think quite a few. We have some issues going on in Europe right now where it's very dry. I think France is probably going to need some rain pretty quickly. We're still waiting for seasonal rains to show up in Spain and parts of Italy, although that's not as big a deal in Italy. But Spain does irrigate a fair amount of the crops, so that too may not be a big issue. We're very dry in parts of the former Soviet Union, though, out there in the Ukraine and into parts of southern Russia. Some of that area needs a fairly significant amount of rain soon because it's getting pretty late in the season, and before long it's going to be too cold to produce or get a crop established in that area. China's doing okay, though, and we have some problems in Australia with some dryness. Both in the east and western parts of the country might be eroding away at some of the yield potential in those areas. It's not a crisis and not as bad as what they were dealing with last year. So for the most part, I think Australia's doing all right. And then lastly, western Argentina needs a good drink of water, and looks like they're going to be dry for a while. That is not only an issue for wheat, but also for corn and sunflower seed.
You are a global hopscotcher. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years.